Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport, and this is Get Fit Louisville.
We were designed to run. Let us talk to you a little bit more about what you're trying to accomplish and how you can best get there. That's the thing. That's why VO2 is here.
Welcome to Get Fit Louisville. Whether it's biking, running, or swimming, Jeff and Angie can help you get the most out of each breath. Listen up, Louisville. It's time to get fit.
Welcome back. It's been a little spotty, but that's what fall, summer going into fall does to us, doesn't it, Jeff?
Absolutely. I think that's just the whole transition. We kind of, came through Iron Man, and people were, getting their kids back in school.
Absolutely.
I was getting my kids settled back into, new schools, so it's been a little crazy, but it's good to be back here with you and, to talk about a few things.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump right into our fitness calendar, and it's loaded.
It absolutely is loaded. I mean, there's probably, we could probably spend all day talking about the different runs that are available to those who want to run or different cycling events that are out there, and I think you're probably better off to go to Swag Sports and their website and look at their calendar. If you want to look for a 5K, 10K marathon through September, October, November, I mean, it is absolutely loaded. This is a great time of year to be outside. You couldn't ask for better weather. If you're looking for something to do, I would say go to their website.
And I'm sitting here looking at it, and that's why we can't come in. We would just spend the next hour
right.
just naming races
right.
and things, but it's also, it seems like every fall I meet new people who, this is when they get that kick to, I'm going to actually run the mini, the Kentucky Derby Festival mini marathon. And I mean, you encourage people start now instead of waiting.
Oh, absolutely. I think, there's no better time than the present. We can always put things off. But, anytime you can get started, it's a great time to get started. And it's nice to go out to some of these races. Even if you volunteer, a lot of times if you volunteer at races, you kind of get the bug.
Right.
Because you see and you hear about all the people, and usually people start with like a 5K. It's usually the shortest distance, obviously. And people get involved in this for so many other reasons, and it can be very inspirational. I mean, some people are coming back from cancer. Some people are losing weight. They had a loved one die that run, and they wanted to do it and honor them. So there's a lot of great stories out there, and those kind of things can kind of get you inspired and get you going, and, there's no better time than the present.
I have to throw this out there because I completely forgot until you just said November. On November 1st in Simpsonville, I'm hosting the Girls Day Out 5K at the outlet shops of the Bluegrass, which I'm laughing because it's Saturday morning. By then, I'll be married.
Right.
And so my husband will be getting up with me at 4 in the morning to get out there. But it's going to be a great time. And I think that's one where men are certainly welcome, but girls of all ages. Mm-hmm. So bring your young ones out there, but at the same time, bring your lady friends, because not only is it fitness, but it's philanthropy, it's
right.
benefiting St. Jude, and there might be a little bit of wine tasting and some massages.
Oh,
and some
women
coupons.
Always do it right. whenever you have a 5K or a race or some type of event that women are the focus, they always end up doing so much more that I'm like, why don't they just do that in general, at every race?
Right?
But it's awesome.
You guys like that stuff
yeah,
too.
I mean, why not? So it sounds good to me.
Okay. Well, let's turn to the topic of the week. And I mean, this is one that is not going away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really it talks to everybody, whether you're a cyclist or not. So let you introduce this.
Well, I think what we have, and it's been in the national news, we had a Jessamine County, a cyclist over the summer that, received, I think, 5 to 6 citations for riding her bike to work. Down US 27, which is a very busy stretch of highway, but it is a 4-lane highway. Northbound lanes, two southbound lanes with a divided median, grass median. Speed limits 45 to 55.
Okay.
It does have some restricted access, but it's obviously you can turn into gas stations off of that road as well.
So, just to paint a picture for those who live here in the Louisville, Southern Indiana area.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Dixie Highway?
Well, I wouldn't say it's that. I mean, it's busy. I wouldn't say it's that busy because Dixie Highway or Dixie Dieway, as I call it, because that place is extremely busy out there.
It's tough.
But I think it is similar. Something similar to that. kind of out in the, you know, a little bit more rural.
Okay.
You know, but you've got a, it's a major thoroughfare for a lot of traffic to cut through. You know, in the state of Kentucky, you know, a bike is considered a vehicle. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you got on your bike and you had had too much to drink, you can get, you know, cited for drunk driving, actually. So, you know, the issue being is she originally received citations for it. Here recently, she went before the judge. And to a lot of people's shock and dismay, the judge actually upheld the citations and told her if there was a shoulder that she needed to be riding on the shoulder. Shortly thereafter, I think it was the following week, she went to get on her bike because she rides her bike to work, rode down 27, was in the right lane. If most people know what the shoulder of the road is like anywhere, I mean, it does have a shoulder that you can pull off on, but that's usually where most of your debris, your glass, mm-hmm. your nails, you know, auto parts from the stuff that's fallen off cars. So it's very difficult to ride over there, let alone, I mean, or drive a car, let alone ride. She was in the, you know, far right edge of the lane, and she was arrested this time by police and taken to jail. And it actually has garnered a lot of national news over her being arrested for that.
And on that occasion, according to an article from WKYT, which is a CBS affiliate, in Nicholasville, she was actually going to school that day.
Right, right.
So, okay, the first question is this. Is that legal?
Well, you know, I'm not going to sit here and profess that I'm, you know, that I know all the laws, you know, and is it legal to be on that road? Absolutely. There's nothing that says she can't be on that road. There's no laws stating right now that she cannot be on that road. You know, so I think that's where, you know, it went before the judge, and the judge interpreted whatever he interpreted at that point in time. And I think, I'll be honest with you, from what I've seen, is kind of just made it up on the fly, you know, because it goes back to if you can tell someone to drive on the or ride on the shoulder, if there's a shoulder, you should be riding there. You're creating a dangerous situation for other drivers. I mean, there's a lot of drivers I don't even want in front of me or
around me.
I mean, so let's just be realistic. People that are, you know, texting or that have been drinking or they're tired from they've been working all night or it's early in the morning, they haven't had their coffee, whatever that might be. So to say someone needs to be on the shoulder, I think it might be taking some liberties with the law. And I feel like partly it's a little bit picking on the cyclist. I think it's a bad precedent to set. I think if you look at the big picture, if they're considered a vehicle in the state of Kentucky, why can't I drive around an accident on the shoulder? Or if there's a traffic jam, I should just be able to load the shoulder up with traffic now and just drive down the shoulder. If I did that, I can promise you I would get a ticket for doing that. So I don't quite understand what they were trying to do at that point in time.
Well, this is interesting from the article. Officer Kevin Grimes with Nicholasville Police says that Schill, the woman, Cherokee Schill, was arrested for second-degree wanton endangerment mm-hmm. for, and I quote, riding in the center of the right lane. Mm-hmm. The arresting officer says he saw several cars braking and changing lanes erratically to avoid hitting her. How many of us haven't braked and changed lanes mm-hmm. erratically to get around somebody who's not driving, mm-hmm. you know, who's going 20 when it's 75,
right.
you know?
Well, I think that, you know, just listening to you talk, that's the confusing part.
Absolutely.
It's like it becomes this open interpretation. And now, you know, the laws that we have on the books are we're not using the laws that we have, you know, that have already been written by Congress. I mean, we're just interpreting laws and making them up as we go. And I think that's very dangerous when you start to do that. And I think it goes back to there's this rift in the community. Mm-hmm. I think it's become magnified in Louisville, most definitely, but it's magnified around the country. I mean, I see Facebook stuff all the time where, you know, cyclists were killed here or cyclists were hit here in different parts of the country. And I think that's the thing. It's becoming it's more prominent. You see it in the news more. And we're only going to create more problems for ourselves if we don't start to solve them because more and more people are getting out and becoming more active. Mm-hmm. You know, usually cycling is, you know, it most people begin to, they start running first before they start cycling. And then usually it's through, you know, years of pounding on your body that you end up getting to cycling. You want to stay active. So you buy a bike, you get into riding, and then all of a sudden you start to deal with all the issues with the cars on the road, and you start to see we have a lot of people in her. I mean, there's a lot of angry drivers out there. So But I think that's one of the things that it's become very, very prevalent here recently.
But then I have to also say, so say that this, I mean, it doesn't tell us exactly the time that she was riding to school, but it sounds like it was during a high traffic time for at least that area. Here's the question, though. She's riding in the middle of the lane. Was that necessary? Because on one hand, I understand if she rides on the edge, that gives people more of a chance to pass her, and it also endangers her much more.
Right.
But at the same time, if I'm a driver, I'm thinking, well, gosh, why won't she move over? I can just, you know, edge between. So as a cyclist, what kinds of choices do you make?
Well, I think that's a good point. I think here's what I've seen. I'll use River Road as an example.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that's like the Paris-Roubaix. That's the, I mean, that it's cobbled up. It's ridiculous and it's rough.
Yes.
So it could have been a situation where the maintenance on the road wasn't very good. We don't know that. That's one thing we don't know. So maybe on the right-hand side of the road, maybe it was cobbled up pretty bad right next to the white line. And she moved over. Just like you're allowed to move over in your vehicle, as long as it's safe to do so, to avoid debris in the road. So I think that's the whole thing. I think they were waiting for her. I think they knew, honestly, from my opinion, I think they knew she was going to be back out there.
She sounds targeted. Certainly, I mean, she does.
I, you know, I mean, with six citations, she goes to court. Judge says you have to be on the shoulder, which is realistically not, there's no law that says that. You know, so they made that up kind of as you go. And then they come out and they, you know, arrest her for, you know, the wanton endangerment because she created a situation. So, it's like you said, people create situations all the time in cars. Is she riding, you know, 30 miles an hour? No, she's probably riding 15 to 20, somewhere in between the two. So traffic is having to slow down, but we do not know, I think, the full, range of, or actually what was going on at the time. Was she being stubborn? Was she purposely going, you know what, I'm just going to ride down the middle of the road. I'm going to piss them off, and I'm just going to, this is what I'm going to do. That would be crazy to do if that on her, because she's putting her life in danger. But like I said, we just don't know if there could have been stuff on the right-hand side of the road.
It'll be interesting to see what happens in October.
Yeah, I think it will. I think that's the whole thing. Like, you look at that, and then you feel like, gosh, you know, it's like one step forward, two steps back in the state of Kentucky. Then you look at like California, who just passed the 3-foot buffer,
right?
You know, and it's like, that's what we need. You know, why? What's so hard about that? You know, and I think that's the frustrating thing for most cyclists in our state and surrounding states.
Well, even, I mean, I caught myself driving behind a motorcyclist today. And I mean, we've talked about this before. There's a just innate protective nature that that comes over me. I don't need to bump the back of his motorcycle. And when he was finally in front of me, I mean, I'm probably giving him 5 to 6 feet.
Right.
I'm just, in my head, I'm thinking, what if,
right.
you know, what
right.
if?
Right.
But at the same time, watching things like you said online, I mean, River Road, perfect example of that. People are infuriated when there are cyclists. So,
yeah, it's become, you know, I've seen, you know, we had one of the, you know, ladies who actually, and I think I've mentioned this before, who races for VO2, who was hit, knocked off her bike, and the motorist literally drove off, ran over her bike and kept driving. And they had to chase this lady down and said, you know, you hit somebody. Oh, no, I didn't. And then later in the investigation, she said, she told the police officer, well, she swerved in front of me. And it's like, well, I thought you said you didn't hit anybody.
Oh, that's awful.
So it's like you hear those stories. That's awful. Then you have, you know, cases where it's truly an accident. Unfortunately, when you have accidents and it's vehicle versus bike, usually the cyclist loses. I mean, it's almost always you're going to lose. You're not that heavy compared to a 2,000-pound vehicle.
Right.
So there are truly those accidents. I think there are a lot of angry, you know, cyclists out there. I think there's a lot of angry motorists out there. They're bickering back and forth a lot. I've seen it. I've been on group rides where, and I've participated in where I've been angry at motorists because they've almost clipped me, and I'm yelling at them, and they're in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, gosh, I hope they don't turn around because they just run me over, you know. So I think that's the thing. When you see, it's frustrating as someone who's out riding in the community to see, you know, see that, you know, a cyclist was arrested, because now it's like, well, gosh, I mean, they could arrest me. And what defines a shoulder of a road? If a judge says you need to be on the shoulder, what defines that? Is it 6 inches on the other side of a white line? Do they consider that a legitimate shoulder for a cyclist to ride on? So I think that's the whole thing. So I think it'll probably get overturned. His original decision will be, you know, I think we'll, and I think it'll be interesting to see what comes of the wanton endangerment charges that they have against her now.
Well, as we talked and have had guests on, mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that I think is key is defining what are the rules, mm-hmm. what are the regulations. Mm-hmm. I was on Breckenridge, which was one of the first ones to get those brand new bike lanes, mm-hmm. which means there's now one lane of motorist mm-hmm. traffic. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a supporter of cyclists. Mm-hmm. I love what cyclists do for mm-hmm. the environment mm-hmm. as opposed to cars and the health aspect. I was not thrilled that it took me almost 20 extra minutes mm-hmm. because it was a particularly heavy traffic day mm-hmm. because I couldn't just pop over, right. you know, get from behind the slow traffic mm-hmm. here because you couldn't go into that bike lane, at least as far as I understand right. the right. rules. Right. And it was completely clear because there wasn't mm-hmm. a single bicyclist right. that morning. Right. And we went cross street to cross street from Barrett all the way up to 6th Street. I mean, it was crazy
right,
to me
right.
that I had to just sit there,
right.
even though, you know, just got to listen to music longer. So. Right.
Well, I think that's the thing. It's unfortunate. You know, I think, you know, what Mayor Fisher's trying to do is you're adding bikes to existing infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And it's what we should be doing is creating new infrastructure with cyclists in mind. And then that sure. you're not going to get those type of slowdowns.
Right.
So it does become very difficult. I think they're trying. I think the city's trying. I think sometimes it's the cart before yeah. the horse theory sometimes. But I do think they're trying to move in a positive direction.
I agree.
You know, which is huge. It's just unfortunate when you see things like this that occur, and now it goes into national news. And I can promise you, Louisville used to be, you know, we were kind of climbing the ladder as, oh, we're 20th in as far as Louisville or Kentucky, as far as bike friendly states, and we've got all these great projects going on around town. They're just really cool, and throughout the state, you know, the park systems and all that kind of stuff. And when you see that and that gains national news, all those people who do those ratings, it starts to drive us back down. So then right. you know it takes away from some of our tourist dollars and different rides that we have and things of that nature. So, you know, it does have a trickle down effect, unfortunately. And hopefully it's something that'll come to pass. But it will. I think this will garner more national news and national attention because you just don't see this happen very often. Because, like I said, it was it really wasn't a law that she was. I mean, there wasn't anything that the judge really had no right to tell her to ride on the shoulder. I guess he can say whatever he wants to, but the reality of it is he doesn't, you know, because there's no law that says you're supposed to be over there. So,
well, I'd like to see this continue.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, once you have definitive laws, that's it.
Right.
You know, now we all figure out how to, can't we all just get along?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And that's necessary, right. But
yeah,
we'll just have to watch this one closely, and you know that we'll be talking about this
absolutely.
Again soon.
Absolutely.
Okay, every week, at least mostly every week, you bring a product to discuss. Some are interesting and funny,
yes.
And some are very, very purposeful.
Yeah.
But I love, especially this time of year, that you've acknowledged UK and U of L
yes,
fans with
today,
this.
Today, what we have is Tier Sports, or TYR. Swimming has actually, they have their new team goggle series, their Durafast goggle series, which is really cool. So if you're a U of L or UK fan, you can support them. We carry them in the store, but they're actually, team themed goggles. So if you need a new pair of goggles, these are great. They're polarized, so you can swim outside with them as well, but they're great for being in the pool. But the Cardinal Birds all over one and the Wildcats all over another. I will say we have sold more U of L goggles than we have UK goggles, but I would expect that us being here in the city.
That's funny.
But it's a good way just to kind of support and show your pride when you're in the pool, I guess. They're fun. They're just something fun. They're actually not a novelty item. They're actually they're high end goggles. I mean they're roughly about $24 a pair. So and they last. I've actually got a pair. They work well. But I don't have any. And people always ask me if I'm a UK or U of L fan. I never tell anybody. So I just wear Not even today. I just wear the straight black ones is what I wear. So let people guess. But I will say this. I just got a new truck, and it is blue. So if that tells you anything. So.
Mm-hmm. That's so. Well, I have to just tell you that on that note, my fiance, soon to be husband, is a diehard UK fan. His right. late father, even though he lives in Indiana, right. his late father was, and so there's right. some familial oh, yeah. ties.
Absolutely.
But I, you know, came down here and became a Louisville fan.
Absolutely.
So when his diehard family comes over, right. they watch downstairs. And I'm usually by myself upstairs with the dogs when they play together. So.
It's kind of funny because my ex-wife and I, you know, she's a diehard U of L fan, and I am a bleed blue. When it comes to, I mean, I will say, when it comes to football, I just love good football. It doesn't matter. I played football in college. I just love really good games because football is just it's a cool sport. I mean, I like it. You know, basketball, I'm a UK fan through and through. I was raised that way. We're always, Kelly and I are always back and forth. She's trying to convert my children to U of L fans. I'm trying to convert them to UK fans. We're at my house. So it's, I think our kids are very confused right now when it comes to sports. So, but it's all good.
They have
fun
time.
With it. Yeah.
Right?
She, you know, she spends a lot of time. She does buy more U of L stuff. So every time, I think she sends them over to the house in U of L garb just to get me. So, but it's an ongoing thing, but we make fun of it.
Makes it a lot of fun.
Yes.
Well, switching gears to something super serious and also much talked about, let's dish about domestic violence mm-hmm. and professional sports. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the NFL has been on blast for mm-hmm. how it's handled. I mean, Ray Rice and the names just keep coming out
right.
there. And, I mean, just it continues to get messier and messier mm-hmm. and messier.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to talk about, I mean, not only domestic violence as it pertains to professional sports in the NFL, but what about this double standard?
Mm-hmm.
Major League Soccer player, mm-hmm. Hope Solo, has a domestic violence case. She's charged with two misdemeanor counts of fourth-degree domestic violence assault from a June 21st incident with her half-sister and 17-year-old nephew. She allegedly punched the nephew in the face and then attacked his mother. But yet, not only have her sponsors, including Nike, continued
mm-hmm.
to support her, but she's still playing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's... Obviously, I think domestic violence in the NFL, let's just say Major League Sports, has probably been going on longer than what none of us are dumb. Obviously, it occurs every day around us in just our regular walk of life. So they're no different as far as being involved in, you know, incidences like that. They just happen to be good at something or great at a sport, and they're in the national media. A lot of those people are. I think it's a travesty. I really do. I think the biggest thing is that one of the reasons you're probably going to see, you know, a little bit of a, I don't want to say, I mean, you can't say a double standard, obviously, but I think people look at it and frown on it differently when it's a man versus a woman versus a...
Absolutely, they do.
You know, I mean, they're going to totally look at it differently. I mean, when you saw the video of Ray Rice, I mean, hitting his wife, I mean, I was blown away. I mean, you didn't even see it happen so fast, literally, unless you slowed the video down, then you could see it. But when you look at it from the, you know, female versus whether it's her sister or whether it's I don't think as a society we've really latched on to what domestic violence is. We always think, oh, domestic violence, husband must have beat the wife. That's what, I mean, it's just, that's the first thing that comes to mind. If you were to ask 100 people on the street, tell me what you think domestic violence is, I guarantee you they're going to answer you, well, the husband beat up the wife, or husband beat up a girlfriend, or husband beat up something. It's usually going to be the guy versus, you know, the girl, or the guy versus maybe a child or something of that nature. But that'd be more in the child abuse side of things. But so I think it's definitely, unfortunately, I think it's a double standard in the way we look at it. But I think you have to treat it all the same, absolutely treat it all the same.
I've read a lot of different opinions on it, and some people have said, you know, you can't yet call the Hope Solo situation a double standard, which you even just said that mm-hmm. a minute ago, because there's, you know, video mm-hmm. evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the same time, even before, I mean, some of the others who have been booted right now mm-hmm. from the NFL
Absolutely.
Or suspended, it's, you don't have that
right.
video evidence, and
right.
you may not have that with Hope Solo yet. she's remained unscathed. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I mean, even before they said there was supposedly no, they didn't have any video evidence of, you know, of Ray Rice incident. I mean, at least there was something going on. I mean, there was some backlash there, some, you know, suspensions and things of that nature. You know, where now that the video's come out and now, you know, the NFL's backpedaling. And this is the NFL. I guarantee you they saw that video. There's no way they didn't see that video until TMZ supposedly aired it like they had some special rights to it. They had right. seen that video. Yeah. It just happened to come out into the public. And then they got the NFL and Roger Goodell got a black eye. You know, so they rushed around to try to basically, you know, cover themselves up or, you know, paint a different picture that they supposedly didn't know anything about it. And I think it's been going on a lot longer. I think a lot more of that's been going on. I think they've been sweeping stuff under the rug because at the end of the day, it's a machine, mm-hmm. a machine built on money, mm-hmm. you know, and people like Ray Rice and all these, you know, great players. I mean, they sell tickets, they sell merchandise. And if you look, you know, you sign a contract with the NFL, they're your employer. Yep. You just happen to play for the, you know, the Titans or the Ravens or somebody of that nature. I mean, you're an employee of theirs, so you're making money for them, and so they're gonna do probably try to get away with everything they can possibly get away with, and then when they get caught, you know, they spin some propaganda, figure out how to get, you know, to sweep it under the rug, and it goes away. It's not like this is the first time this kind of stuff's right. happened, you know. So when you look at somebody like, you know, Hope Solo, and I think when you have it's not as popular, it's not in the mainstream media as much. Mm-hmm. It's a woman. People are like, how bad could it be? That's what they're probably thinking. How bad could she really hurt somebody? Well, I mean, getting punched in the face would not be fun.
No,
from
and
anybody.
You know, I've done some stories on that, and I mean, men who physically could have injured an abusive wife, mm-hmm. girlfriend, but they're not the abuser. Mm-hmm. Like they did not. They tried to protect themselves, mm-hmm. but did not because that is just not in their genetic right. makeup. Like you and I mm-hmm. mean, we're not going to go out and right. physically harm the people in our lives.
Right.
And it's embarrassing is what they'd say.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm supposed to speak up because my wife beats me up.
Right.
When I, you know, hits me with things and right. cuts me. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's... It's tough to wrap your head around it. The NFL, though, I mean, domestic violence it's not going anywhere,
right.
and it reaches every gamut mm-hmm. of the world. But I mean, right now, the NFL has really put a spotlight.
I think they have a perfect opportunity mm-hmm. to a great platform to take a stand,
mm-hmm.
and. You know, it'll be interesting to see what comes of Ray Rice and the
Absolutely.
Whole situation and how they handle it going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Now that the mud's on their face and it's out,
yeah.
how do you handle it and how do you deal with it? And they have a great opportunity to really kind of reach out and say, okay, let's find a way to spin this into a positive, you know, and to help people. And that'll give you, you know, just kind of an indication what the NFL is about and what they want. And do they really want to, you know, to stop this type of stuff from happening? So, you know, the opportunity is there for them to do something about it, whether they will or not, and what's going to come of Ray Rice will be very interesting to see.
Well, just on one final note, ESPN's Bill Simmons called out Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, and called him a liar, and he dared everyone, including his bosses, to take him to task for calling Goodell a liar, and they did, and they have suspended him for 3 weeks. For his what they're calling profane tirade against mm-hmm. Goodell. But what's interesting is that ESPN's Stephen A. Smith, who told his listeners and viewers, domestic violence victims shouldn't provoke men. That's the old, what, you know, you shouldn't have worn a short skirt and
right.
you wouldn't have been
right.
sexually assaulted mm-hmm. thing. He only got 1 week off. So right. it'll be interesting to see what a lot of organizations do.
Right.
With this issue.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, going back to the NFL obviously is a huge machine, but they also have gigantic sponsors behind mm-hmm. them, you know, and
gigantic.
Those sponsors can start to step back and say, you know what, until you all address this issue, we're just going to withhold that nice yeah. check that we were going to sign over to you guys. We want to know what are you guys doing proactively? Because we don't want to be associated with it. I mean, I can tell you, you know, I've had people that have, you know, raced for VO2 that have mm-hmm. done stuff that, you know, that was a little sketch. And I just said, you know what, we just can't have you as part of who we are, because it's not good. It's just not good. It's not part of what we do. It's not part of who we are.
Good for you.
And so we've made, you know, it, that's on a small level. There's obviously an opportunity on the massive level like they have, to really reach millions and millions of people.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for listening. I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multiscore, which you can check out online at www.vo2-multisport.com. Get fit, Louisville.